My child was told they might need phase one orthodontics. How do I know whether this needs attention now or can safely wait? If you just heard the word expander at the dentist, you're probably wondering exactly that.
Yeah, it's a huge question for parents. And welcome to today's deep dive, where our whole mission is just to demystify this early interceptive treatment.
Right, because we really need to figure out when early intervention is, you know, actually necessary and when it's maybe just premature.
Exactly. I mean, the biggest misconception out there is that phase one is just early braces for everyone. It's not. It is really about taking advantage of a specific growth window.
Growth window. So like when they still have baby teeth.
Yeah, exactly. It's that brief period when a child has a mix of baby and permanent teeth. And critically, their upper jaw is actually still in two distinct halves, like they haven't fused together yet.
Oh, wow. So phase one is highly useful because acting during this unfused window completely changes their treatment options for the future.
Spot on. To understand why timing matters so much, we have to look at the physical architecture of the mouth.
Okay, so think of it like building a house, right?
Right.
If you build a house on a really narrow foundation, the whole structure above it just has to adapt poorly to stay standing.
That's a great analogy, actually.
So if a child has a narrow upper jaw, does the lower jaw just sort of, I don't know, shift to compensate?
It does, yeah. And that creates a crossbite. The child physically slides their jaw to one side just to make their teeth fit together when they chew.
Yikes. So how do you fix that foundation?
Well, because that upper jaw is still in two pieces, an expander can gently stretch the seam down the middle before it turns to solid bone.
Ah, I see.
Right, so this creates orthopedic width, meaning we are widening the actual jawbone itself rather than just, you know, orthodontic width, which is really just tilting the teeth outward.
Okay, that makes sense for width, but what if their teeth are just crowded? I mean, kids naturally have a jumble of teeth for a few years.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's like trying to park five SUVs in a compact car driveway. Obviously, somebody's getting blocked out. Can't we just wait for the driveway to get bigger as they grow?
That's a fair question. And the nuance here is that mild crowding can absolutely wait. But if the adult teeth are literally losing their eruption path...
Like getting trapped under the gums.
Exactly. If they are losing their path or the crowding is that severe, creating space now preserves much better options for adolescents. It really reduces the likelihood of needing to extract permanent teeth later on.
So we are fixing the foundation to make room for teeth. But that same real estate, the roof of the mouth, is also the floor of the nasal cavity, right?
He is, yeah.
So does widening the jaw actually change how a kid breathes? Like, does every overbite or breathing issue need early fixing?
Well, that's where things get nuanced. Because the upper jaw forms the nasal floor, expansion can positively influence airway-adjacent structures.
Let me just jump in and pause you right there. So parents aren't misled? This isn't some secret cure for snoring or attention issues, right?
No, definitely not.
So we shouldn't expect an expander to magically resolve sleep-disordered breathing.
I'm really glad you brought that up. Expansion is absolutely not a universal cure for sleep-disordered breathing. It must always be evaluated in a broader medical context.
Right. We aren't doctors diagnosing sleep issues here.
Exactly. And the same restraint applies to bites, like overjets. Research shows that routine two-phase treatment for class 2 problems, those overjets, is really mixed. Treatment has to be diagnosis-driven, not automatic.
That is super helpful. So if a parent is sitting in the clinic tomorrow trying to make a decision, they really need a practical way to navigate all this.
They do. It's a lot of information to process in a short visit.
Right. So let's give you a quick 5-question checklist to take to your next appointment. Question 1, what exact problem are we intercepting?
Perfect. And question 2, what happens if we wait? You need to know the risk of delaying.
Yeah. Number 3, is this about structural function or is it just about appearance?
That's a big one. Question 4, will my child likely need treatment later anyway? Because phase 1 doesn't usually mean skipping braces entirely in their teens.
Exactly. And the final one, number 5, how will we know phase 1 actually worked? Like, what is the metric for success?
Right, you need a clear end goal.
Well, this has been incredibly insightful. Mm-hmm. So just to summarize, observation is very often the responsible plan, but early action is vital when the diagnosis is time sensitive.
Exactly. And I'd leave you with this provocative thought to kind of mull over. Think of interceptive orthodontics like gently guiding a young tree as it grows.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's so much easier than waiting to force the trunk to bend once it has already solidified. You're working with growth, not against it.
That is a great way to picture it. A phase one screening can help separate what needs attention now from what can safely wait.